Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today for the Bruce Dickey Show. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined across the way by one of my monthly regular visitors. Appreciate you coming in today. It is Keith Cocklaser, Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklaser. What's new, Keith? How are you doing today?
We're back in town.
Back in town.
Been gone for training. Had a little doctor appointment yesterday, but we're back in the office.
How much training? Where'd you go?
I went to Indianapolis.
How long was the training set up?
3 days.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What are we? This is now. How often do you have to go to training? What is typical, and has it changed over the years for the amount of career training, I guess, but police training after you're already in? I mean, because you get you have the 12 weeks at the start of your career, right?
Correct.
It's 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
480 hours.
You get the 12 weeks at the start of your career, and I presume there's a requirement for continuing education?
There was not till this year. There was to a point. Police chiefs and deputy chiefs, assistant chiefs were required to get 20 hours a year.
Oh, really?
A regular patrol officer.
Required by whom?
The Training Standards Board.
Okay.
The Illinois Training Standards Board. But a regular patrolman, up to this year, had not been required to.
Oh, really?
Now, they put on a law, which is a very good... We've always done training.
I was going to say, you had already done it, hadn't you?
Yeah. There's no use going in this profession if you're not going to adapt to everything. And continue to learn the laws and, you know... But they put on the books that certain criteria, ethics, law, use of force. Now every 3 years, there's a required amount of training that each officer has to do, which is a great thing.
Like you said, just this 3 days right now for you up in Indianapolis is this? Did you have to go to Indianapolis because of the budget issues in Illinois? Because I know that you have training programs through Illinois as well that have been kind of stalled.
We do. I chose to go to Indianapolis. It was a class on investigating officer complaints by citizens. I felt it'd be relevant for my job.
Yeah, kind of a management level job there, isn't it?
It's the second one I've been up there. I've been to a leadership class in Indianapolis. They call it the Public Agency Training Council, right near the airport. Right, you don't even go to Indianapolis, but they put on several classes.
Take off on Ronald Reagan Drive there?
Right there.
Okay.
Yep. And in the same week, I sent Detective Titzer to Springfield for a 5-day investigation class. So the Fairfield Police Department's always kept up with the training. Even we go above and beyond what the state requires.
And, you know, you say always. It probably did that back when Merle E. Mike Day and Leon Cocklaser were chief, didn't they?
Yeah, that was one of my dad's strong suits when he took over. He vowed to get more training in the department.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the training that you just went through. Are we going to be seeing you? Are you going to be able to write scripts now for like the internal affairs kind of thing?
Well, that's kind of the basis.
It sounds like what it is. Is that what it is?
That was kind of the class.
In all those movies, you haven't seen those movies lately. Back in the 80s and 90s, you had all kinds of Andy Garcia as a member of internal affairs or something.
Yep.
Busting Richard Gere.
With the world the way it is, and I've used the phrase post-Ferguson, the view of law enforcement's changed. There's some lack of trust of police officers. So I figured it'd be good to have this class as a background in case somebody doesn't come in. And it does happen. Usually just somebody's upset because they got in trouble or got caught is usually the underlying issue. Yeah. They're upset because they did wrong.
Right.
And they want somebody to blame. But we take them serious. I do investigate them. This class consisted all the way from Indianapolis to Oakland, California officers.
Is that right? Well, and that was the next thing I was going to ask. How widely varied were the people in the class? And I presume all management level like you.
Yeah, sergeants and above is what it was. Oakland, California, New Mexico State Police, University of Illinois at Chicago, Rockford.
Anybody from the East Coast?
No.
See, now the thing is, you would think that they might have gotten some folks from some of the more troubled departments. At some point, the Chicago department has been troubled. Yeah. Baltimore has had troubles.
East Chicago was there.
Oh, were they?
But the PATC, they don't only train, like I said, Detective Titzer went to Springfield. They teach all over the country.
Oh, I see.
So I mean, you can get the same class in New Jersey.
I see.
You can get the same class. Actually, I had two officers going for evidence class last week. It got canceled because their instructor was snowed in New Hampshire.
Oh, no kidding.
So they teach across the nation.
Did you learn anything?
I did.
What'd you learn?
That every department is in the same boat, just to a different degree.
Let's stop right there. That whenever you were talking about it earlier, the post-Ferguson world, that kind of makes me wonder. You've got different cities and different socioeconomic levels, and every city has its own socioeconomic level. Fairfield, Wayne County, does not seem at all like a Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, we don't have an urban setting, right, for that matter. It seems like two entirely different worlds set apart from each other by 110 miles. But that's not really true, is it?
No, it is to a point. I mean, local communities, they've always had faith with the law enforcement.
Yeah.
And I believe that will continue. But as the age of social media, of news that's so quick to report, we all kind of get lumped in the same category.
Do you see more cynicism, you think, than you've probably seen in a long time?
Yeah. It's even in the 17 years I've been a cop, I've seen change.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you've noticed changing, I wouldn't say values, but changing perceptions.
Perception, that's a good word, yes. It just, you know, you still have the people that, well, I don't know what the right, raised correctly, you know, how I feel I was raised with right morals and right ethics. They still respect the police, but I'm not trying to put any generation down, but I see a sway where...
You realize you're a member of a younger generation.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, are you the tail end of X, I guess?
Yeah.
So,
40, so yeah.
So, all right, so yeah. All right, so you're 40.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you're now an old fogey.
Old. I feel like it, too. Didn't want to say that.
Heck, I'm older than you, so I can say it. All right, so you are seeing that then. Are there different, probably not part of this particular training in Indianapolis this week, but I'm presuming that the methods that are being trained to police officers to actually become more of a part of the community have changed over the years too.
Yes, like I said, we're trying to get back into it, walking into small businesses, walking the uptown beat. A lot of police departments won't get out of their cars anymore.
Really?
I mean, we're trying.
Yeah, you see that on the television shows too.
Yeah, trying to bring back the community policing. It's always been here. Like I said, small town, we've always done it.
Yeah.
It's just with these bigger cities, these high-profile cases, I mean, it's a changing world right now.
What do you learn from the other managers that you were able to interact with up there in Indianapolis?
Once again, same thing, different level, where they have X amount of...
You got New Mexico State Police,
yeah,
right? New Mexico, you've been there, right? Or have you ever been to New Mexico?
When I was in eighth grade, so it's been a while.
It probably hasn't changed much.
But I didn't have the perception of the world at
eighth grade. Well, now that's true, too. But it's a wide open state. I mean, you can go miles and miles and miles and not see a soul. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that it seems to me like the New Mexico State Police would be just kind of trying to figure out whether to be hunting roadrunners or something, you know? I guess that's not right. That's an incorrect perception, I guess, right?
Well, everybody travels through there one time or another. I know.
Well, I did.
Yeah. So, like I said, same stuff, just different scale, where we may have, we have one death where they have 10 a night.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the same investigative principles. It's just a different, different level.
I got to tell you, that doesn't seem possible to me that East Chicago could have the same investigative principles as New Mexico.
They do. Like I said, different laws vary by state, of course. But it all depends. Like you said, you compare those big cities to Fairfield. We have their resources are available right then.
Right.
Where we may have to bring in different agencies to help us.
Okay.
So, I mean, your scales are different kind of across the board.
Yeah.
But it's the same crimes. How about that?
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. I've got Keith Cocklazier here. We're just talking things over about the Fairfield City Police Department. And we'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined across the way there by Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklazier, and he's been talking about. Okay, so give me some of the stories of the internal affairs guys. Give me the nitty gritty stories. Did anybody somebody who was like drug dealing cops and all that kind of thing?
The teacher did.
The teacher did?
Yeah.
Was it a former police officer that was teaching?
Yeah, I can't remember what county in Florida, I don't know if it was Miami-Dade or where he's from, but yeah, he had some interesting stories concerning officer behaviors.
I suspect, it's Miami, Florida.
Yeah, different world.
There are probably some temptations down there that one may or may not have in other parts of the country.
Officers leaving their patrol district to meet other people, I guess you would say.
Yeah, yeah.
And posting stuff on social media they shouldn't be posting.
Oh, really?
I believe Indianapolis cop, too, a trooper and a cop, got posts on Facebook after a night of partying with firearms pointed at each other. That'd be bad.
That's not a good thing. Yeah. They put their picture on Facebook after holding a gun on each other.
We at the police department, we have a social media policy. The guys are not allowed to post anything towards their job or anything about the department. Officers across the nation have got in trouble on social media because they'll post job titles of human garbage disposal. You know, that's totally detrimental to what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to serve the citizens.
Yeah, exactly right.
And, you know, they were younger officers, thought their buddies would just see it, that'd be it, but we all know.
Well, you ran into that. Well, you didn't, but the folks ran into that whenever they did the Ferguson Police Department, whenever they checked the emails.
So people post that thinking that only they'll get a kick out of their buddies. Well, then the buddy's going to share that with somebody, or they're tied to somebody else, and before you know it, you're on Fox News with that job title. Really don't want that to happen to anybody.
No.
It's silly to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you're going to do with your spare time, then you need a different profession.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, so you sent Sergeant Titzer, right?
Detective
Titzer. You sent Detective Titzer up to Springfield. What did he learn at the investigative?
I hope he learned a whole bunch.
You have talked to him?
Briefly. He's been on the road this week, 5 days for him. So I sent him away a little longer. But he's been doing an outstanding job for us. I figured it'd be more tools I could put in his toolbox to get him in front of people.
That's half the battle, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it's like anything, you've got to keep learning or you're just going to get stagnant, right?
Yep. I try to give every guy up there everything they need. If they need something, all they got to do is come to me and I'll try to find it, whether it be a tool, a class, advice, or anything. I'll do what I can to get it.
Is it like anything else where you have a where you're going to have a group of 10 or 15 people and some are going to be or take a little bit more quickly to the instruction and training than others?
Yeah, like I said, we've talked about before in Fairfield, we're pretty much jack of all trades. We've got to look at a scene and say, okay, yes or no, there's a crime. Yes or no, there's evidence available. We got to collect it. On some of the other cases, we will call in the state police, but we've got to make that decision. We don't have the specialized crews,
right?
You don't have
CSI.
We do not.
You don't have CSI.
We pretend. No.
Do you have the neon lights?
Yeah, we don't have the blue rooms that we set in. With the glass.
Those are pretty cool. Yeah. I thought you had one out there at the armory.
Don't have that in the budget right now. we don't have.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the budget at the armory, did you get the grant yet?
It's still suspended.
Is it? I'm just kind of hoping.
I believe that's going to be probably suspended for quite some time.
Wow. So that's suspended until we get a state budget, I guess.
Yeah, I'm allowed to spend what we have. We do have about $60,000 in the bank, but they will not replenish the other.
The grant.
The $190,000 remaining is not available.
Until?
And it's, the letter I received was it wasn't even a discussion point, so it may be gone.
That's great that they gave you the grant. Good thing you didn't get into the construction then, right?
Yeah, that'd been horrible because they just would have, like I said, they would have stopped paying and we would have had a tore apart building or half completed projects. So we were kind of lucky that we were a little delayed in our beginning,
right?
Trying to get the specs and the building plans together. Kind of a blessing, I guess you would say now. But we hope it comes back. We don't know if it's a guaranteed line item or not. I haven't made that phone call yet.
It says February. Have you been having to help folks? I know that it's not your jobs anymore. You used to occasionally. You'd see the police cars had the plug-ins in the front and all that kind of stuff. But have you had to help anybody with the? It's been a pretty easy winter, but have you had to help anybody on the roads and that kind of stuff?
Not really. And you know, we've talked about the jump of cars. Of course, we don't do it, unfortunately. I mean, it's a good service, but we jeopardize stuff in the vehicles.
Well, in both cars.
Yeah. And but also, vehicles have changed.
Yeah.
Really don't need that box in front. You can carry a little jump pack. That's what City Garage does for us if we have a car go down. I think your days of dedicated jump vehicles are pretty much gone.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense because you don't see it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, so I think just the vehicles are more reliable.
Tell me a little bit about how's the workforce right now. You've got a full slate, or you're gonna have training. You're gonna have when's the next time we're gonna have employment opportunities?
Unknown at this time. We currently running 10 officers, including myself, and 4 dispatchers.
Yeah,
and we're getting it done. So. To my knowledge, I don't think we're going to have any hires in the future, but you never know.
That's something you kind of have to keep an eye out, though. When do you replenish your lists?
Every 2 years.
When was the last one?
So I think the next one's up August 2017.
Oh, okay.
So
it was last year.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking it was in 14.
Yeah, and we test same time the fire department does. We do it together. That way it kind of gets everybody at the same spot.
Oh, well, now that's handy. Do they have anybody who tries in both tests?
Yes, they have, but I can't remember how it turned out.
I gotta say, if you're gonna fail one, you're most likely gonna fail the other one, aren't you?
It is two different tests completely. Firemen go through a little more of a physical. We still have to do the run together. Do not think they have to bench press. Off the top of my head, but they have to drag dummies and they have to crawl around in the dark with a mask on and flip things over and try to find the end of the trail.
Yeah.
So they do things that we do, and we do things they don't.
Tell me a little bit about we've had a spate, for want of a different term, of silly idiots threatening schools. You know, I don't recall this happening all that much when we were youngsters, but you do.
Yeah, early 90s, I was in high school, and I can recall two that we had.
Really?
Basically cleared the school, and, you know, it's great if you're a student.
Yeah.
But now that you're on the other side of the foot, it's pretty much chaos.
What is the typical? What is the typical? Yeah, what is the typical response? I know we had the gun threat up there at the high school a few months ago.
Yeah, we respond and help with the school with clearing the building. Also, Secretary of State, we will contact them. They have a bomb squad unit.
Oh, really?
I believe same thing Hamlin County did, and Mount Vernon. I don't know specifics of their case, but that's what we would do. We would work with the conjunction of the high school. I've already been in contact with the administration down there. There are plans in place.
Tell me a little bit about how this is. Now, you haven't studied with the other ones, but what are these kids doing? Are they sending Facebook threats? Because, I mean, they've been making arrests lately. I don't think any of them have really gotten away, have they?
No, well, like I said, you got your social media the school pays attention to. You have, back in my day, it was a payphone lobby.
Really?
Yeah, I believe that's how it came in. Nobody had cell phones back in the early 90s. If you did, they were attached to your car.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at payphones back then. Now you're looking at text messages, social media sites, Yik Yak, of course.
Yeah.
All the way down to, I believe this one was wrote on a bathroom stall, which we've had here too, where another student threatened another student. So, like I said, once again, we're not immune from everything that's going on in the world.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so we've had it.
Are we just hearing more? It seems like it's been, maybe I'm hearing more about it since I work here at the station that I didn't hear beforehand, but or maybe the media gets the word out more often.
They get out faster. You got, like I said, I'm sure you guys have bunches of sources.
Yeah, yeah. Len's got tons.
All it takes is a little drop on a wire somewhere, and it's, you know, what used to take, I always give the analogy of what used to take 2 weeks to get across town, it now gets across town in 2 minutes. You know,
wow.
With somebody's fighting somebody. It used to be back when I was in school.
That was great.
Go to Carter's Cleaners.
There you go. You'd hear, meet you at Carter's Cleaners at fourth hour
and
something like that.
3 days later, everybody would know about it. Yeah. You know, well, so-and-so fought so-and-so. Now, within 3 minutes, you already got a crowd lined up waiting for it. Wherever that fighting spot may be.
Need to sell tickets.
Yeah.
Where is the fighting spot now?
I'm not sure. We're actually having a little juvenile issue in the downtown area.
Really?
So I believe it's
I'm not sure where.
Smackdown First and Main, right in that area.
No kidding.
Yep, we got
church parking lot.
We got kids chasing kids.
Who gets
kids
in a fight on a church parking lot?
People in Fairfield. That's actually a City of Fairfield parking lot, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's right there by the church, though. Everybody thinks the people from the church park there.
Yep. So, but yeah, we're having little issues with juveniles, but we've working on that. That's been an issue.
How do you work on that? I mean, it seems like kids are parking up there, right? No, I mean, kids are always finding another place to park.
Well, we're also dealing with kids that aren't driving, too.
That young.
Yeah. That's the catcher. I mean, as we sit here and talk, kids be kids.
Kids will be kids.
We understand that.
Sure.
Everybody understands
that. You were a kid, I was a kid.
Everybody was a kid.
Hypothetical guy was a kid.
Yeah, one time.
Sure. He's not anymore.
But the kids are getting younger. And, you know, you suspect driving around, causing chaos, driving a little crazy. But, no, you're dealing with grade school kids that are just, I don't know if they're trying to stretch their wings or what they're trying to do, but
staying out late,
running town all hours of night, harassing people, business people, customers downtown. It's a new thing that they just have no respect for anybody.
Huh?
Now, like I said, not all kids are bad.
Oh, no.
So let me get that out there first of all.
Yeah.
We just seem like after the Fall Fun Fest, and you know, I don't mind talking about it, we kind of had a group come together about that time. And it got up to about, I'm going to say, 20 kids that were running around together. And we've kind of thinned it out and got, you know, a lot of peer pressure going on.
How late were they hanging out? I mean, were they hanging out on?
We've caught them out all hours.
Like, what's the point of being out there like 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
Hang out with your buddy and be cool, I guess.
It's kind of dark. Not a lot open. I mean, you can only go eat so many ranch steaks, for crying out loud.
Well, you only see town so many times. You know, as a kid, funny story, you know, everybody cruises town as a kid.
Yeah.
When you have to cruise it every day as a part of a job, it kind of gets a little old because you don't go so far.
Is that right?
You used to be able to do it for hours and hours, yeah, right?
You just do the circuit? I mean, you do the circuit.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely right. Yeah. It'd take you about four times an hour.
Yeah. And you do it all night long.
You do it all, well...
Most of the night.
Yeah, you do it long enough.
Till you find who you're looking for.
That's exactly right. Till you found who you were looking for, who would occasionally stop, and then you'd occasionally have to stop. It was like trolling.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I'll give you an example. Around the high school, lunch hours, everybody used to drive around during lunch hour. I don't know if it's the same.
Sure.
We're not that far apart.
No, we're at 9 years.
But everybody used to do it. But now everybody communicates via cell phone. Everybody takes off for lunch, and they don't come back to the bell rings now. It's not like it used to be. I mean, you have a few.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was in school, I mean, just everybody was driving around.
You'd see people.
Yeah, but now they take off, and, you know, they're talking on the phone, so they don't have to find you. They already know where you're at.
And they don't need to see you.
Yeah, or they're already talking.
They don't need to be in contact with you in person.
It's easier to text, right?
Yeah.
Because we get all our ideas clearly through text because it shows emotion. And
I was talking to a guy. I was texting with a friend of mine last night who was having a particularly bad day. And in the middle of the conversation, I stopped. And, you know, I probably ought to talk to this guy.
Yeah. It does wonders, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
Communication is a beautiful thing. I'm talking to Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklazer. We're just talking things over. We're going to talk, see what's going on next in the next upcoming month here. We got to talk about basketball.
Got to talk about basketball and scams.
Scams and basketball. We're going to talk about that when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, back after these. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois, talking with Fairfield Police Chief Keith Cocklazer. And I got to tell you, I heard the news. I did hear this on the news over the weekend, or maybe it was last week. Maybe it was earlier this week. What is this, Tuesday? Might have been yesterday. Tell me about this IRS scam that's going around. Now, what are these scams? Are they more prevalent?
This one has been around for a while, but it came back very rapidly, I guess you would say, because we've received probably 3 to 5 calls a day on this one.
When did it start?
Tax time, I guess.
When did it start up?
A couple weeks ago.
And you're getting three to five?
It's growing, but yeah. It just seems like they're flooding our area.
Yeah.
Scams are scams.
Have you ever been able to talk to any of the perpetrator people there?
To my knowledge, of everybody I've ever talked to in law enforcement, I think they have caught one person, and he was the middleman. I don't know if it was Illinois, but the middleman was in Arkansas or Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And they were able to get the middleman. And, of course, that's far as it goes.
Sure.
Majority of these, if not all, are overseas-based. Usually voice over internet protocol phones.
VoIP.
VoIP. Basically, a number they grab, and then they can change it anytime they want.
Wow.
I mean, you can do it on Google Voice. You can get a number and then drop that number and grab another number. So you never can quite catch up with them. These people are professionals.
All right, say I'm the guy at home. All right, you're going to give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a call.
I'm going to keep you online as long as I can.
Really?
I can't. You know, I'm not that good.
Yeah.
But
what? Now, what's the point of keeping me on the line?
You got to keep making that deal better and better. Whether it's a sweepstakes winning or this place, you know, you owe me money, we're going to come and arrest you. That fear.
Right now, the one you're hearing is that we're going to arrest you.
Yeah, we're going to arrest you because your income tax were wrong. You didn't file, or you filed the wrong amount. Obviously, the IRS, the federal government, will not contact you via phone. They will either mail you, and, you know, you always hear the war story. Somebody show up here. I don't think they'll do that. You'll receive it in mailing.
Wow.
Not by telephone.
Yeah.
So their goal is to keep you on the line and either...
Alan Thick's been saying that they're going to show up at your house.
Yeah. We've had a few people try to lure people in.
Oh, my.
So
somebody calls.
They're going to give you a deal, whether it be the good, bad, the ugly. You've won money or you owe money.
Okay. And you owe money. I tell you what, you owe us $1,500, but we will accept X amount.
Yeah. And... You know, a lot of people don't want their name out there. They're afraid they did make a mistake. Just guilty conscience or something. They'll give in and send the money. And usually what it is, it's no longer Western Union. It's usually these green cards, basically a credit card.
Right. Yeah, a smart card or something.
Yeah.
There you're fine. You can get a CVS or something.
All like you got to do is go get this
Walmart
card, load it with $300. We'll take care of your debt. We appreciate your assistance in this, and we got so many to do, we'll wipe you off the books. It's just an example that I've come up with in my head. Well, you go get that card. You give them the number. Now, they can pick that money up anywhere in the world. Wherever that card is accepted, all they got to do is walk in with that verification code, and here's your money, and then we'll never see it again. Now, like I tell you during the break, you make 25 of those calls a day, and you make $1,000. It's a pretty good day.
That's not a bad day.
And all you got to do is just be a salesman on the phone. And you're not selling cars. You're selling...
Selling scare.
Yeah. Or reward.
Yeah.
If, you know, you've won the sweepstakes, please pay the taxes, and we'll bring you all your money.
So how's it going around here now? I mean, have they been successful? What are you finding?
Most of the people, like I said, we've got enough word out that it's hang up on them. We've had a few check with their tax services, which is, you know, smart.
Sure.
But to my knowledge, nobody's fell for the scam. We encourage nobody to give their private information out, their bank account numbers, Social Security numbers, their day of birth. Simply just hang up on these people. Things in life that they're going to give you money for is just... That's too good to be true.
Have you ever seen anybody start talking, dealing with these people and maybe get to the bottom of it?
Never get to the bottom of it. They always think they can outsmart them in one way or the other. Okay, I'll send you the $300, but when you deliver it, I'll have cops waiting in the backyard.
Yeah,
and we're going.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I got the cops waiting.
Yeah. We've had a couple residents try to convince us that people were coming to bring a car or money. Of course, they're never going to show up. And, you know, these I feel the scams, you know, once they get you on the hook for $100, $200, they're going to keep calling you.
Yeah.
Because they know you're a fountain. They're going to keep
they
coming
know
back.
That you. They know that it's available.
Yeah. You know, and then sooner or later, $500 becomes $5,000. $5,000, $10,000. They're never going to give up. Once they find somebody that's either going to try to work with them or just, you know, give them the time of day where they can get an opening to get in there and convince them, all the way down to my grandkid got stopped in Texas. And
see, now that's another one that we've heard before, isn't it?
Yeah,
somebody
basically
calling my saying that they're the grandchild, right?
Yep. In jail, I was drinking, shouldn't have been. I hit a lawyer, or I hit a judge, or I know the guy I hit knows a lawyer who's good friends with a judge. For $500, they can sweep it under the rug. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we encourage people not to give information out and just hang up the phone.
How often do you find that they don't?
We've had several. Don't really want to put a number.
So who buys into it? So yeah. You've had some people who buy into it.
Yeah, we've had, like I said, the few cards here and there. We've had retirement savings dipped into, and that's just the ones we know about.
Well, you know, that's the thing. The ones that you don't know about, you have no idea how many there are, who would be just ashamed by, oh, my God, I got duped.
Yeah, the embarrassment.
Scared to tell anybody.
Yeah, they did it, and they won't even tell family. Yeah. So no telling how many times they're successful.
Wow, that's amazing. So right now there is the one going on with the IRS,
yeah,
right?
That's the current one that I know about, and it seems to be flooding the area heavy.
That's crazy. That's just nuts. Keep your eyes open, folks. That's for sure. You got the tell me about Chuck.
15 years of the 3-on-3 basketball.
That is amazing. How much money? Any idea how much money you guys have donated to the girls? This mainly goes to the girls' basketball team, right?
It does now. We started out the association, I believe, in 2001, and we were doing softball and basketball. We had a few raffles, but we've bought equipment along the way. We bought tasers when we first started.
Fall what do you guys do, split 50-50 or something?
More lately, we've just been taking enough to get us covered for what we did, for what Charlie does. Charlie does it all, basically, and the rest of us have been going to the school.
What's his phone number? If somebody what does somebody need to call if they want information on the basketball?
I then call police department 842-2152 and we'll get him in touch with Charlie. Leave a message for him and he'll get right back with you. He's very good at this.
What age groups are they? I mean, this is for anybody, isn't it?
We've broke it down to two. When we first started, we had grade school, men and women's, and we had all broke out. We had like four divisions, but we've broke it down to grade school and high school and above now. So we only have two.
Oh, really?
But we've ranged from 10 to 24 teams, I believe, in a double elimination tournament.
Who's the best player you've seen there?
We've seen several come through. Of course, all the Fairfield kids.
You occasionally get kids over from like Wabash and that.
Yeah, we had the Tyra Bus girl came through with her teammates, and they played several years, all through grade school and high school.
And she's now all star in the Big Ten.
Yeah, University of Indiana, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had the boy that went to the Harlem Globetrotters.
The kid from Carlisle?
Yes, he came and played.
Is that right? Yeah. Did he put on a show?
He put on a show.
Did you realize it was the show at the time? Did you realize who he was?
No, but
His name? Tucker. I believe his name is Tucker. Isn't
Tucker's
it?
His last name.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to watch him get with the Globetrotters, because then you can flash back and say, well, I saw him in Fairfield.
Was he dunking like that here too? No kidding. Yeah. Where does it take place?
We moved it to the grade school, because that way we can use both gyms and kind of speed it up. At the high school, we just had the one floor on each side,
right?
Half court, played by twos and ones. But then at the grade school, we can run four courts at a time.
How many games does the winner usually get?
Believe double elimination, if you get up to about 12, 14 teams, 6, 7, 8.
That's a big day.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a long, long day.
Yeah, we'd start at 8 and end at 5. We've had some long ones.
Is it still that long now that you have extra courts, you think?
No, I think we get all in one day now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You had been going too?
Two weekends. Yeah, two Saturdays is what we used to do.
Oh, well, that's a lot handier to get it all done in one day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you take donations for this, or how does that work? Are there donations in addition to the cost of admission, or how does that work?
They do. Well, there's no admission. It's free to come.
Free to come, but not to play.
Right.
Entry fee.
$50 to play.
Per team.
Yes. Yeah. Majority of that money goes back to the Lady Mules.
Right.
And Officer McMean and the girls will go around to get sponsors, provide shirts for the winners and stuff like that. So, I mean, we do have sponsors, and they've been great over the years. I think we're up to 25 or 30
now.
Oh,
that's cool.
So the community's really backed it. Like I said, 15 years for a sporting tournament, I guess you would say. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is a pretty nice job. Last thing, you've got a council meeting tonight. You've got nothing going on at the council meeting tonight.
Not to my knowledge. We got.
You gonna even show up?
I gotta show up.
You got to be there. You got to be there in case anybody has a question, don't you?
I answer questions in case something happens. You never know.
Do you ever have a question?
Yeah.
Whenever you don't have things going on.
Yeah.
What do they ask you?
I've been asked about parking before. I've been asked about you know, I don't get to see the alderman all the time.
Yeah.
So every 2 weeks, something will come up, and they'll get with me at that time.
Yeah.
Concerning cars, yards, anything that's going on, buildings, or situations happening that we have a hand in.
Yeah.
So this kind of keeps me up to date what's going on, and you know there have been things that happen in council.
Well, that's the thing, you
across
hear,
the nation.
You'll hear the folks complain. The folks who have complaints for the council sometimes probably have they probably would be the same would apply to you guys.
That's true. Yep. And it just we're there for the city basically.
Well, thanks very much for coming in.
No problem.
Stay safe, Keith. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. I've got trying to remember who I've got coming in tomorrow. I got the rest of the week filled up, I think, though. Maybe not tomorrow. Might be talking auction tomorrow. I think that's what I'm going to do. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show. Have a great day, folks.